The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boker Tov, Chodesh Tov. Yeah, we're all living this strange existence, aren't we, Howard? I don't know. Every day that I wake up and read the news, I still can't quite figure out that, you know, we're in what we're in today. You know, it's just something that is taking a long time for the penny to drop.
Are you saying in general, or the fact that Israel is now back to where it is?
Well, both, I suppose. Mm. I mean, I think one is part of the other to some degree, you know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we genuinely are struggling with how to find the correct balance between health and economy. And unfortunately, the way that the government's been handling things has not contributed to the situation, because I think the decision-making process is difficult enough as it is. And so, you know, when we look at how things are being done, and the difficulty that we have, even if things are being done in a more, you know, sensible way, it's hardly surprising that we're in this situation today. But I think that, to be fair, that most countries are having to confront this issue about how they keep people healthy and also keep the economy running. And actually, it was Brian who's written in to ask to hear a little bit more about the a member of Knesset, Yifat Shasha Biton. She is the head of the Coronavirus Committee of the Knesset. And as Brian wrote, she's shown tremendous courage against the wishes of her own party, which is all very, very true. She's certainly become the name of the moment, I would even suggest, in Israeli coronavirus issues right now, because with so much backwards and forwards and so much so many people being unsure, both within the medical fraternity and within the within the body of politicians, she's really been quite consistent in the ways that she's dealt with things. And the irony is, of course, that she was placed in that position in order to represent the interests of Prime Minister Netanyahu. And in the end, he's the one who's really become infuriated by her. And she's lost a lot of his confidence, because he thought, I think, that she was going to just kind of rubber stamp the sorts of things that he wanted. Obviously, the way that democracy works is that while the government is entitled to make certain decisions, and of course some of those decisions could just be binding on the country in general, the Knesset is the overriding democratic body. And anything that the Knesset decides upon cannot simply be overturned by the government. Now, Shasha Biton, who, by the way, comes from Kiryat Shmona, and she's a former deputy mayor of Kiryat Shmona, and also has been a minister of construction and housing from January of last year. She was appointed for that short period of time. So she has come from a background where she's had to assert herself, and she's had to be very, very secure in her thoughts and very determined to achieve what she wants to achieve. And she's really shown that, because, as I say, Prime Minister Netanyahu thought that appointing her to this position would effectively allow his governmental decisions simply to be verified, ratified, rubber stamped, whatever you want to call it, by the Knesset, which is the ultimate decision-making body, or in this particular case, the Knesset Committee for Coronavirus. But she has insisted upon evidence being brought forward before she's agreed to close places down, particularly gyms and restaurants. She's been very, very protective of them. And once a decision was made by the Knesset committee and the government attempted to override that and to reverse that decision, she stood up and said, no, she's not allowing that to happen. She is insistent upon the decision being carried out as was decided by the Knesset, unless, of course, evidence is brought to the contrary, in which case the Knesset, the committee will reconsider their situation. So that's really been, you know, she's been one beacon of consistency, I would say, throughout all of this. Ironically, even though Prime Minister Netanyahu tried to fire her once or twice, he hasn't succeeded in doing so. And the latest moves apparently are going to involve him trying to channel some of these decisions through a slightly different parallel Knesset committee, which has got a slightly different makeup to it, in the hope that they might be prepared to be more accommodating of his governmental desires than this lady, Shasha Biton, Yifat Shasha Biton, has been prepared. So all of that's going to be very, very interesting. But I would suggest that if you went out on the streets of Israel today and asked people who they thought has been doing a really good job for the corona effort, I think that her name would probably come close to the top of the list. She's really
amazing.
Got
I'm just loving her strength. I'm loving her resolve, because it's not an easy environment.
Resolved.
Not an easy environment at all, and it can't be simple when everybody is trying. It is you know, partly because you were put in the position. You were put in the position because people thought they could push you around.
Right, and then she shows herself not to be available to be pushed around.
Absolutely.
And of course,
fantastic.
We had these protests yesterday in Jerusalem. Unfortunately, people were arrested, but there's certainly a certain amount of anger that's boiling over now onto the streets of Israel. People protesting in Jerusalem. They said 2,000 to 3,000 protesters were out yesterday, protesting, walking between the Knesset and the Prime Minister's home. Restaurateurs were protesting by making food for the protesters. That was their contribution to the protest. They set up buffets in the street, brought their foods from their restaurants, whatever, and they were giving the protesters a sustenance in order to maintain the protest and in order to support them. Certainly there's a certain amount of anger that's boiling over. And it's not only about the way that the coronavirus has been poorly handled in the last, let's say, couple of months, but I think also people are starting to feel that there are ulterior motives coming through, that this is not only being done in the interests, in the best interests of the people of the state of Israel, but also now personal interests are coming through from the political side, and decisions are being made which are not good for people in Israel, but might be good for the decision makers. And, you know, there certainly was a little altercation between two members of the government yesterday, the Minister of Finance and Miki Zohar. Accusations were thrown backwards, one to the other, on exactly this issue, each one accusing the other of making decisions in order to progress their own personal family members, people who are close to them, rather than thinking about what's good for the state of Israel. So certainly a certain amount of anger, and Yifat Shasha Biton is being held up at the moment as the lady who we can really rely upon to say things as they are and to present the interests of the people of Israel.
Incredible. Hezbollah has threatened to retaliate against Israel after one of its fighters was killed in an air attack on Sunday night. Do we know anything about who this person was?
Well, I mean, even Hezbollah is very, very active on social media, and so his name has certainly been mentioned in some of the social media, some of the tweets and some of the other messages that have gone out on social media. So we do know who he is. I'm not quite sure what his role was, what he was really doing. And it's also not clear whether he just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time when that air attack was carried out, or whether this was something that was more targeted. In other words, where the attack happened to be carried out there because of the fact that he was there and he was one of the targets. It's not clear, but it seems to be someone who's relatively senior, held in high regard, and it has solicited a whole amount of outpouring of comments about this person, about how Israel should look out, about how Israel is already afraid and looking over its shoulder as to what Hezbollah might do next. And of course, the typical showing, typical imagery showing cars driving towards the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem in order to try to suggest the liberation of Jerusalem from out of Israel's hands. So clearly this has hit a nerve, and there seems to be very, very little doubt in the minds of those people who are making these statements on social media that Israel was the one, was the country or the party that was to blame for the attack that was carried out on Sunday night that we discussed yesterday. But certainly a raw nerve has been hit, and so I suspect that within Israeli security circles right now, people are looking out to see what sort of retaliatory strikes Hezbollah might choose to carry out. It's never really clear. It's never just sort of Hezbollah attacking from Lebanon, which is their stronghold, into Israel. It could be Hamas attacking from Gaza. It could be Hezbollah carrying out attacks on Israeli embassies abroad. It could be all manner of activity, which, of course, the Israeli security has to take care of and be aware of. So I guess people are on relatively high alert right now as a result of those events.
Yeah, quite a frightening indeed. All right, can we just go back to these protests? Because we saw some very strange things, naked women on or topless women on menorahs in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
What on earth is going on?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, on the one hand, I think that the protest movement in general has a very strong point to make. I think that the way that things have been handled recently does definitely justify people coming out on the street and saying, this is not okay. And the way that, you know, people like to do it here is to literally do that, to go out on the street to make the point that, you know, the famous placard that's being held up now at all of the protests is, Prime Minister needs to go. And so, I think that there is certainly a point to be made. The problem with protests like this and protests in general is that they very, very frequently get hijacked by groups who have other interests and trying to use the opportunity of people coming out on the street to send their own message. And I suspect that that's probably what happened here, where you see all kinds of other people getting involved in the protest. And the fact that we've got naked women or topless women, as it happened yesterday, feeling that it's appropriate to climb up on the menorah outside the Knesset and kind of drape themselves over that menorah, I think is unfortunate, because I think it dilutes the real serious message that is there to be made, which is that the people of Israel are not satisfied with the way that things are being handled right now. We need more guidance. We need more integrity from our leaders. We need clearer responsibilities. We need to know whose messages we are listening to, who has the authority to make decisions and to make statements, and where the advice is coming from, so that we know that the advice is professional advice and that the actions that are being taken are really in pursuit of that professional advice rather than satisfying people's personal whims. And unfortunately, when you've got protesters of the type that we had joining the protest yesterday, it kind of just dilutes the message. Mm.
Although that said, it is summer, so it could have been quite hot, Zanati.
It was very hot.
Sure.
Yeah. No, I mean, giving the woman the benefit of the doubt, she probably just got very, very hot
at
and sweaty.
Night. Okay.
What I mean?
Yeah. No, well, Zanati, it is very warm at night, make no mistake. I just wondered why there wasn't a man, why it wasn't the man who decided that he needs to be topless on top of the menorah. And, you know,
right.
Anyway,
exactly.
I think we all understand, unfortunately, that that's not
I find it so fascinating how, and it's very much from the left that as much as we are, you know, that we need to be respecting women and women's bodies, the use of a woman's bodies in a protest like this, or the weaponization of bodies, are found to be quite fascinating, and it's got to be contrary to that which they claim to stand for. But it's another discussion completely. Talking about energy, Noble Energy, the company carrying out offshore gas exploration in Israel waters, has now been acquired by Chevron for $5 billion.
Yeah.
What's the significance of this deal?
It's a
big one.
This is interesting because Chevron really hasn't been a company that has shown any interest in Israeli gas exploration, or indeed even gas exploration beyond the Persian Gulf and beyond the obvious Arab-denominated oil states up until now. And all of a sudden, Chevron has decided to acquire Noble Energy and all of its Israeli assets. And one wonders how this sits with the work that it's doing with United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia and those countries as well, because obviously Chevron is very, very closely linked to all of those countries through the gas and oil exploration that it's doing in those parts of the Middle East. And, you know, it just goes back to the discussion that we had, I think, last week about a certain softening of stance that we're seeing from certain Arab countries towards Israel. And this is now making itself felt within the business market, within this huge acquisition. Noble Energy has been pioneering the offshore gas exploration in Israel for already probably 20 years. It's in partnership with Delek Group, an Israeli company, and it operates both the Tamar and the Leviathan fields, which it has, you know, quite significant stakes in. And now having been acquired by Chevron, and Chevron publicly making a statement that it wants to become involved with Israeli gas exploration, I think is a massive statement towards, you know, the parties like BDS and others who are trying to scupper Israeli business and you know, trying to talk down and damage Israeli business, because here Chevron, I think, is making a very, very loud statement indeed by this acquisition.
Yeah, really, really interesting. And unfortunately, it is 8 o'clock. I did want to talk to you about this Israeli-made robot, but we can always chat about that tomorrow. This is Where We Love and Leave You. Anthony Reich, thank you. As always, we'll catch you tomorrow morning, same time, same place.